welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin here from Lighthouse Christian Church, and I've got my special guest with me today, Miss Caitlin Poulin. Hello, Caitlin. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I just threw you right in today, but you know, we're here today as a podcast slash topical study on the air. You know, you're listening to us here at 91.5 FM. Or you're listening on our website at ourlighthouse.net. And the reason that we have this program is because we want you to understand all that God has for you, the authority that He has for you. We want you to understand things like the power of your words, what worship means, and how you can be an overcomer in your life. I mean, we want you to always remember whose you are. And what that means, and that's because we love the Lord, and we're part of His kingdom. We're part of His, you know, I don't know, we're just part of His family, and we're family, and I love it. So welcome to the program. So glad you're here with us.
Thank you.
And we always like to do the program with a topic, and I, you know, I've been letting everybody bring the topics because it's easier for you guys to you know, have everything in play and then put me on the spot to try and track with you. But, you know, what is your topic today? I actually know, but it's pretty crazy topic. But I like it. I like it.
Well, it's surprising, but we're going to talk about your birthright for a bowl of stew. And we'll talk about what that means, but just simmer on that for a moment.
So your birthright for a bowl of stew.
Yeah.
That's an interesting topic.
Okay. I know.
So talk to us. What was God speaking to you in your life, and how did you come up with this? I obviously, as a pastor, know this is the story of Esau.
Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about what God was sharing with you in your heart about it, and we'll go from there.
Well, so as a church, we're currently, the women of Lighthouse are going through the Bible recap. And so we were coming through, we're still in Genesis, but as we were going through this story of Jacob and Esau, the Lord was kind of pinpointing to me some things that resonated with something that just happened to a good friend of mine recently. And so this stuck out to me. So basically, just to kind of summarize real quick, in Genesis 25, it starts to talk about Jacob and Esau, and that even in the womb, so these are twins, and even in the womb, they were quarreling. And so the Lord spoke.
They're wrestling inside.
Yes, exactly. Just a couple boys, you know, normal stuff.
Exactly.
But the Lord came to Rebekah in a dream and said that their two peoples would be divided, that they were going to continue quarreling even after they were born.
Okay.
And so that kind of gives you some foreshadowing of what's coming. But Esau came out first, so he was the oldest, which gives him the birthrights of being the oldest son. Just a little bit about him. So he was kind of a hairy guy. He worked out in the fields. He was a hunter. And then Jacob came out second. He was a little more plain, and he spent a lot of time, you know, at the house, better cook, his mother's favorite. She loved, like, he was more gentle. So, you know, you typically think, okay, well, Esau makes more sense as a leader because he's the strong guy, you know, he's
and
the
he
tough
came
one.
Out first.
And he came out first.
And Jacob's
yeah.
a girly man.
Yeah. I don't think that's exactly verbatim, but you know.
I'm going to have to look him in the eye and tell him I said that one day when we get there. He's going to be like, really, man? Girly man? For real? But anyway, keep going.
I love it. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
But
I'm having regret right now.
But it's interesting because Jacob was really smart, though. So there's this one time, so Esau had been out working in the field, and he came in, and he was just famished. And so he saw that Jacob had made this really, really good-looking and smelling stew. And so he was asking his brother Jacob, hey, give me some of that.
And he's probably like, nope.
Yeah, Jacob is like, oh, I could use this, you know? And if you look at
first, he's probably like any brother. Nope.
Yeah. Not, oh, man. How many times did my brothers do that to me?
Not going there. Yeah. None for you. No stew for you.
No stew for you. Well, and so he took that opportunity in that moment, he was like, oh man, I can use this to my advantage, which is something you'll see Jacob does a lot before his name is changed to Israel. But he said, okay, well, I'll give you some of this if you sell me your birthright. Let's right. do a tradesies.
I'll trade you.
Yeah, I'll trade you. You can have some of this
typical
delicious
brother
stew.
Stuff again.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is to me that I don't know if Esau knew or not, or if in that moment he recognized what Jacob was truly asking for him to do.
Right.
So he's so focused on, oh my gosh, my stomach is growling. I'm starving.
I'm going to die here.
Yeah. He actually says, I am about to die. Okay. First of all, I just got to say how many...
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times that I've been so hungry that I'm hangry and I'm just like, just give me
right,
food.
Right, right.
So I can kind of understand.
You're stewing a little.
But I mean, how many times he says, I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?
Right.
You know, if I'm going to die, what am I going to use a birthright for?
Right. He's living in the moment.
Yeah. And so in that moment, he sells his birthright to his brother. So the oldest son has now given his birthright that he was due. This is a big deal.
Right.
And we're going to go into it. But
now they were twins. He came out of the womb holding his heel.
Yes, he did.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was the way younger brother.
Right.
They were twins. Mm-hmm. But whoever broke out first, they got the birthright.
Yep, exactly.
So there was always a probably contention among them. That,
probably.
You know what? I should have been first. Or you know what? Just because you came out first, we're twins. You know, we should split it evenly because we were both born within at the same time.
Yeah.
But you just happened to come out first. But I could hear the arguments.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Well, and it always says that... Jacob was Rebekah's favorite.
Right.
And Esau was his father's favorite.
Right,
so there was some contention there anyway. You know.
So, all right. So we're talking birthrights here. So tell us what is a birthright so that we can understand kind of the definition of that.
Yeah.
I mean, most people are like, what's a birthright these days?
Yeah.
Nobody does birthrights.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anymore. But there was a blessing that came on the firstborn son of the family. It was a patriarchal.
It was huge.
Responsibility, not only to continue the family, but to do some things. So explain that to us a little better.
In that day and time, this was everything. So our dictionary would define it as it's a particular right of possession or privilege one has from birth, especially as an oldest child. But biblically, to kind of go deeper into that, in their day and age, you're talking about they are taking on the mantle of the leadership of the family. They have judicial authority for the entire tribe. So that means if anybody is quarreling over something, they're the person that makes the decision of what is actually going to happen.
So they're the judge.
They're the judge. Yes.
Gotcha.
And they also received, so if there's any inheritance from their parents, each of the children would get an inheritance, but this, the person with the birthright, the eldest, is going to get a double portion.
Gotcha.
So that's how, like, this is very important.
Sure.
And I don't know, that's why it struck me, because he just sold it for a bowl of stew, because he was hangry.
Double portion of your inheritance.
A double portion of land, a double portion of money, a double portion of livestock, everything. Like, like, there's so much riding on this. And you got to think, like, I get being hangry. Don't get me wrong. But that's a really hefty price.
Well, I think when we start to look at birthrights, and it really ties into covenant.
Yes.
And, you know, with covenant, God made a covenant with Abraham back in Genesis 17.
Yep.
And the promise was this, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations, and no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I've made you the father of a multitude of nations.
Mm-hmm.
And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after your, your offspring after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Listen to this. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. You see, God made a covenant with Abraham, right? For those of you who are listening, he made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. So Abraham had Isaac. He had one kid, right? And then Isaac had Jacob. And then Jacob had, you know, so Isaac, you know, had Jacob and Esau.
Right.
So those two were fighting over, you know,
Yes.
The birthright. And then if you look at it, Jacob then became, because he stole this birthright, the father of the nations of Israel.
Yes.
And I don't know, we don't really hear a whole lot about where Esau landed after that.
Well,
but Jacob had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's a big deal,
because
it should have been the Esau's 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about...
He really did lose the birthright.
He did. If you think about, if this had happened any differently, the entire lineage of Jesus would have changed. If this story had happened any differently, the whole thing would have, all of the lineages that you go through, like there's a lineage of Esau actually, chapter 30 something in Genesis, and it lists all of his sons and everything. I mean, he was also fruitful, but the birthright that he lost was the covenant with God.
Right.
Then that's the big thing is like Abraham, he didn't have a ton of, well, he had a lot, but his birthright he was passing down.
Right.
Or excuse me, Isaac. The birthright he was passing down was not a bunch of land and livestock and stuff. It was the covenant that God had made with Abraham.
I'm gonna make you a father of many nations.
And if you could count the dust on the earth, then you would be able to count your descendants. Like that's how big a deal this was. So when you relate that to the story of Esau and Jacob, they're not really talking about a physical, tangible, like birthright of possessions and land. That wasn't even really mentioned. They're talking about this birthright of the covenant that God made with Abraham and then passed on to Isaac. And before he gave it away, it actually belonged to Esau when he was born. But because he gave it away for a bowl of stew, he lost all of that. So then that leads me to ask myself, like, do you think Esau understood what he was giving away? Do you think Jacob even understood what he was asking for in that moment? I don't know that I can say that either one of them did. It doesn't really go into their thoughts at that time,
right,
just specifically the facts of what happened. But I mean, it leads me to think like, okay, well, how does this apply to my life? Because that seems like, oh, that's a no-brainer. Why on earth would I ever give up all of that for a bowl of stew? But honestly, we kind of do it every single day without even realizing that's
kidding.
What we're doing.
You're not kidding. Yeah.
So like our birthright in Christ as believers and followers of Jesus, well, in Colossians 1:15-19, Paul is essentially saying that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. He says firstborn for a reason. He's saying that he carries that birthright as the firstborn son.
So good. Yeah.
And we are his brothers and sisters through his death and burial and resurrection. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new person. His old being is gone. A new life has begun. We then have that birthright placed onto our shoulders.
Absolutely.
And so it's available to anyone. It's free. It's not like we have to fight for it. You know, he already gave it to us.
It's in Christ.
Yes. We just have to accept it. But when we were adopted into God's family, we were adopted in as royalty. So we have that birthright. And that birthright is victory through Jesus, the full justification for our sins. Justification is as if it never even happened.
Right.
And I love thinking about it that way.
That's our
birthright.
Sins. Yeah.
How cool is that? That's what we're called to when we step into the family of God.
That is so cool. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new person and his old being is gone.
Yes.
You know, I really want to reiterate to everybody that life itself is based in our ability to be in Christ.
Yes.
If you're not in Christ Jesus, you have no birthright. You're condemned already. It says you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And we know that God commended his love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us to re-extend that birthright. And even through Christ, the birthright was extended not only from the Jewish people, but now we as Gentiles, some of us, I mean, some of you may be Jewish out there, but before that birthright was only for the Jews. Now that birthright is carried into any person that will by faith receive the gift of salvation and being saved through Jesus in their lives. And that is a powerful thing, that you who were alienated from God, separated and never stood a chance to be a part of the family of God and part of that birthright of Abraham, mm-hmm. which was a father of many nations, yeah. and that being really just the children of Israel up yes. until the new covenant was established. And mm-hmm. then Peter and everybody's like, oh my gosh, the Gentiles are receiving the Holy Spirit too, because God's like, I'm opening the covenant.
Yes.
And it's a new covenant made in the blood of Jesus, yes. not in the blood of goats and animals, because right. under the old covenant, they would have to sacrifice animals, stay in, you know, perfect place with God.
Oh, yeah.
And they had so much going on there to try to maintain their righteousness. And now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, Jesus because
amen.
We're in that covenant.
Amen.
I love it. But Esau just gave that up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he later died, and his descendants have still continued, but he lost that mm-hmm. blessing and that birthright.
Yeah.
It was given to Jacob by yes. his father. He disguised himself and
yeah.
put furry fur on and
he did.
All that
yeah.
stuff. So. You know, yeah. and Jacob released the blessing over him, and it was irrevocable.
Absolutely, yeah, because the father only had one blessing to give his son.
And he was on his deathbed.
Yeah.
And he was blind.
He was blind. He couldn't see. Yep. And so,
yeah, Jacob was playing the...
Oh, and he did. It's not the only time that Jacob did that.
Yeah.
You know, if you read through that section of scripture, you'll see, like, oh, man,
Jacob,
come on.
Esau was going to kill him.
Yeah. So... That I wanted to kind of talk about. So how is that going to tie into you and me on a daily
right.
basis? You know, if you think...
We now have that birthright
yeah.
in Christ, but what are we selling it for?
Yeah, when you put it that way, like now that you put it in that context,
what
it's
are
like,
you trading
oh man, what,
for your birthright?
I would never trade anything for that. Well, we kind of do.
Yeah.
Because I just recently had a friend of mine who, she was talking to somebody and... things were going great and she was really excited about it. And even though she knows who she is in Christ, she's a believer and she's really active at her church, it started to go in a direction that was very fleshly. And so, you know, it very much was...
Spirit is willing, but the flesh,
the
is,
flesh
weak.
Is weak. Yeah, honestly. And so, and you preached a sermon one time about, you know, the three parts of us as
yeah.
humans. You've got the spirit that wants to be connected with God and was mm-hmm. designed that way. You've got the soul, which is our emotions, our mind.
And our will.
And our will. And then you've got the flesh, which is this kind of...
And whoever wins the soul wins control.
Exactly. And so in this instance, she knew who she was.
I remember that message.
I remember that message. Very, like, it impacted me. And so she knew who she was, and I kept reminding her, like, just lean into the Lord
right
now.
Right.
Just lean into the Lord. And instead of doing that, she got her heart hurt because she leaned into these fleshly things. Well, in that moment, she stepped away from her spirit's connection with the Holy Spirit. She stepped away from that, and she stepped more toward what her flesh wanted. And thankfully, the Lord got her attention, you know, in time. And so, which he's always singing over us. He's
yes.
always trying to talk to us and get our attention. And I'm so, so, so thankful
he's
he never gives up.
He's always working things together.
For, yep.
For yep. good.
Yep. For those who are called according to his purpose.
Yep.
But I just love that it's so prevalent, and that stood out to me so much because I had just had that experience and heard my friend and her heart and how much it hurt her going through this process
sure.
because in that moment she was willing to step away from her birthright, knowing full well who her father is, you know, our Almighty God, and the birthright she has. She was willing to step away from it toward fleshly things. And we can all say we've done that, you know?
Maybe today.
Yeah, honestly.
At the all-you-can-eat buffet. No.
I mean, really, any one of us can do it. It's not like
right.
this is some special instance. I've done it. I do it on a regular
Absolutely.
Basis without realizing I'm
doing
it.
To do what we know is wrong.
Yes. And so that's...
Thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Oh, I mean, there's just nothing better. So It says very specifically, and I know we're gonna break soon, but I just wanted to talk about a little bit about what it says in Romans 8:28 starts. We know that all things, that's where you were going.
Yep.
We know that all
mm-hmm.
things work together for
there
the good
is.
Of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, which is his will. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's us. Hallelujah. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. And I want to jump down to verse 37 where it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is our birthright.
That is. And what a powerful scripture. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back. And I want to talk more about that.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is the place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. I just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. I just know Jesus is my God.
Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue is located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, it's Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church, and we've got Caitlin Poulin, who is our women's ministry leader here at the church, with us today. And we've been talking about trading our birthright for a bowl of stew, and it really is coming together. It's really making sense. You know, you were sharing, Caitlin, in the scripture Romans 8, 28 through 39, and you know, in verse 29, it says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." Mm-hmm. We, you know, our birthright is that we can be conformed to the image of Jesus. Yes. You know, and then in verse 31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" The favor of God is our birthright. If God is working with you, what can stop you in this world from accomplishing what God has set you in motion to do? And then I saw another one again in verse 34, and he said, "He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us." I thought that really stood out to me, that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, and his birthright has been placed on us, and he's saying, "You can do this. Come on." And when we fall short, he's saying, "I got you. You're covered." And, you know, the problem is people are selling their birthrights, and we just got to stop doing that. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to think about, what would you sell your birthright for? If you think about it like that, you're going to say nothing. But we do it all the time. We place idols in front of God. We make an idol out of money or food or clothing or even our physical affection.
You're not lying.
You could
relationships.
Yeah.
Jobs.
I mean, some people think, like, I read something today that some people think, well, I need God, but I also need a spouse. I need God, but I also need money. I need God, but I also need food. And that right there is us saying that God's not enough. We're saying our birthright is not enough. Yeah, but really, truly, you know, we are called to run with endurance the race set before us. And that means forsaking everything else.
Yeah.
and picking up your cross and following him. And that's all we're called to do. That's it.
Yeah. So I want to encourage you guys that are listening out there today. This is our exhortation to you. You have a birthright. You have been given the keys to the kingdom by Jesus himself. You're his ambassador. You're able to do all things and work all things together, you know, in your life. They're all going to work together for good because you love him and you're called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. So don't sell yourself short. Don't settle for less than the perfect plan of God for your life. As you go forward in life, know that he loves you, he's for you, he's paved the way through his blood for you to be forgiven, redeemed, set free, and delivered from all of these things that try to distract us in this life. So you are loved, and we love you here at Turn the Light On. We just want to say God bless each and every one of you.
Amen.
And we're so glad that you joined us here today on the program at Turn the Light On, and we'll see you next time.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.